Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
That's a good response. Where's Jerry? Oh.
I'm here, John. He's coming.
There's Kenny. Yeah, don't sit on the front row. It's not bad. It's just 11. So we're good. Let's just say a little prayer. Lord, we want to just thank you so much that we can gather on the first day of the week and remember you. Lord, it's so great. It's not worship. It's remembering you that leads us to worship. Praise your name. Pray you'd speak to us today and help us as we consider your word and what you'd have to say to us. In Jesus' name. Okay, today we want to speak on the subject, worship God. And I thought I would hand out a little outline. You want to hand them out? You did that half and you did that half. And I think I've said this before, but this isn't just like a cute trick. It's something I do for my own benefit because I'm just a little ADD and I don't concentrate. And all I want to say is I want everybody to get the main point. You know? And the main point is
worship God.
You said it? Who said that?
Worship.
Okay. So we could really go home now, but so my father always said, well, you tell them what you're going to tell them. He did a lot of speaking. And then you tells them, and then you tells them what you told them. You know, we all know that. So I'm going to tell you, worship God. That's what I'm going to tell you. And then the second part is worship God. And the last part is worship God. It's a wonderful thing, worship God. So I'd like to read a few verses. And you can put them up if you want to, sure. Yeah, that's fine. Not all the way through, though. First verse is Revelation 22, 8 and 9. Kind of the end of the Bible, you know? Right at the end. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God. Don't worship the angels. Don't worship other things, but worship God at the end of the Bible. And then another verse, John 4:24. You can correct me whenever I need correcting. Thanks, Jonathan. Yeah, if you get anything. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And then Job, I just thought Job 42, 5 and 6. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I repent in dust and ashes. So Job, after he went all that he went through, he repented in dust and ashes. He humbled himself before the Lord, and his dealings made way for him to acknowledge and worship the Lord. In Hebrews 11:21, by faith Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. You know, might we end our days having gone through everything and being humbled and worship on the top of our staff. So obviously we could talk about many, many verses about worship, but I've been exercised about this matter of worship for a good bit now. You know, we live in days of turmoil. The nations are in uproar, and the people's devising a vain thing, and we can get undone by it. But I do think there's a proper response. And I think a proper response in the days we live is to worship God. In the midst of it all, worship God. You know, we've been taught, who's familiar with the term means of grace? Means of grace. Okay, Maury, Jeffrey, one of you. What's means of grace mean?
It'd be like different things you do to get the grace of the Lord, like Bible reading or fasting, things like that.
The Lord's table, the Word of God, prayer.
That's good. There's things that bring you to the Lord and what He's given us to bring us to Him. I wrote down prayer, Bible reading and study, breaking of bread, obedience, trust and surrender. Anyway, I want to tell you that I've never heard of the means of grace as worship God. So it seems to me that worship God is a means of grace. It's a great thing that we're able to do to deliver us from ourselves in this world and to deliver us unto God. So we know that we gather like this on the first day of the week to remember the Lord. And people often say this is worship. Really, this is breaking of bread, you know. And breaking of bread causes us to remember the Lord, and that results in worship. So there is a corporate, a collective worshiping God that's really wonderful. But in addition to that, what I was really on my mind today was worship God at home, wherever you are, 24/7, worship God individually, each one of us, and worship God and as a family. You know, we're able to worship God around the clock. And in the days of trial, we need to remember to worship God in the midst of it. So I had an outline, and that's from one of my verses I read. But a time is coming, and even now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So the outline is A, worship, B, God, C, spirit, and D, truth. Worship God in spirit and truth. So it seems like maybe it's redundant to say what is worship, but I really thought we should just talk a little bit about what worship is. And I got some words out of Webster's. Worship, worthiness, respect, reverence paid to a divine being. Worship, worthiness, respect, and reverence paid to a divine being. Reverence offered a divine being or supernatural power, and also an act of expressing such reverence. It's good to exercise our spirits and to express something. Don't just look further in, look up to the Lord. So it seems like this talks about worship. And it also says we can worship people, things, but today we want to talk about worshiping God. God the Father as revealed through Jesus Christ the Son by the Holy Spirit. Expressing that worship, worship God. Respect, reverence, worthiness, admiration, esteem, devotion, expression. praise God. Praise God with our mouth, with our spirit. And you also have Vines had a little talk about it. He says, describing worship, make obeisance. Is that how you say that? Does anybody know what that means? Worship. Humble. Yeah, humble yourselves and worship God. Do reverence. Do homage. I scared somebody off already, sis.
She's young.
She can take it. Recipients of worship, Vines notes, are God, Christ, a man, to the dragon, to the beast, to demons and to idols. So, guess what? We need to remember who we worship and where we've given our hearts, not to the world and not to all these things. Worship God, the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. Vines concludes, he says, worship is nowhere defined in the Bible. It's just like glory. It's not confined to praise. It is direct acknowledgement to God of his nature, attributes, ways, claims, whether the outgoing of heart in praise and thanksgiving or by deed done such acknowledgement. Do service to is rendered as worship. Remember Romans 12:1. After the whole gospel is spread in the first 11 chapters of Romans, he says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Worship God with our lives, how we live and how we invest our lives. So I just had a couple as we're talking about these are just some general thoughts on worship. Man was created to worship. One of the reasons we're so distraught before we're saved, we can't talk to God or we can't worship God. We're the only creature that is created by God, spirit, soul, and body, meant to worship him. And that capacity was lost at the fall. We weren't able to, but we have been saved. We've been redeemed. We have been forgiven and born again. We can worship God with a clear conscience and a new spirit. Worship God, approach God and worship him. It's a great privilege. And you know, when we think about generally worship isn't limited to time and space. Obviously, we're blessed to assemble on the first day of the week, but we can worship and praise God wherever we are. Think of the Psalms. It seems to me like the psalmists worshiped God in the middle of wherever they were. They started in a low place and were distraught, and in the middle they worshiped God. So the other thing I want to mention is individual worship. Worship as a family. Have a family altar. That's really powerful. It's really powerful to worship as a family. And I want to just give a couple experiences at family worship. Sharon and I went up to the valley a couple weeks ago and went to the Brethren and Mennonite Heritage Center, because we were thinking this is the place all the Anabaptists came down that valley from Pennsylvania, where they fled persecution. And Mac didn't scratch the surface on how much these people were persecuted. He spared us, but it was terrible. But anyway, they came here, they got established and came down to beautiful Valley of Virginia, and they're still out there. still a lot of dairy farmers and so forth, but they had an old log cabin, old log house on this site that had been moved there, and it just had story inside there about the family life. And one of the centers of their family life was a family altar. And I think they didn't maybe often have a big place to meet and worship. So in the kitchen, they had a kitchen in the living room or dining room, and they had a wall. Well, it was like a wall was like this, but they had a pulley on it so they could pull it up and get more people in. So that, but they really had a family altar, and they really had emphasis on singing. And someone told me that's true to this day among them. Anyway, it was a great testimony of a family altar. And I have a personal testimony about a family altar. Lived in the old Chicago suburbs in a little subdivision that was built right at the end of World War II. Maybe it was before. And across catty corner across the street was the Bennett family. And one of my good friends running around in my youth was Don Bennett. And he went to the Lutheran school. He didn't go to the public school. So they were good. I guess they were good Lutherans. I don't know. But just, I used to go in the driveway with Chester Bennett and work on his old cars. So that's someplace where I learned some of the car stuff. But gravel driveway, you know. You didn't have to worry about oil leaks when you had a gravel driveway because you couldn't see them. But anyway, they, for some reason, I would often end up at their house, and they hadn't quite finished dinner yet. And they'd always invite me in and give me food, just like a stray cat. And Chester Bennett, he couldn't leave the table. He got the Bible out and read verses in the evening and then prayed. And then got his bowl of ice cream and went and watched TV. But anyway, I'm to this day suspect, and I'll never know, that that family is one of the reasons I got saved. I spent time around them, and they were in the Word, cracking that old family Bible open. So it's really important. Family altar is important. And you know, this, we have the corporate worship, too, and I have to tell you, corporate worship, the way we gather, is it's really a blessing to be around the Lord. Do you remember when we came back together after COVID, how awful it was being separated? And there's a difference being together and worshiping in the Lord. So it's it goes beyond, to me it goes beyond a heap of worshipers, you know. This isn't a pile of people coming to worship. You've often heard it, but it's a symphony. It's an orchestra. There's something about everybody worshiping together in one spirit really is wonderful, and I believe it really honors the Lord. It's this thing around the table is part of our testimony. But it's not an individual thing, so when we come, we need to be very sensitive to how the Spirit's leading and not just throw in a song, throw in something that's just, you know, that body of Christ is living stones, but they're built together. So when we come, let's be sensitive to what the Spirit's saying. So it's also important that we be here for the opening. Okay, how many people think that I would mention that because I'm a rules guy and grouchy? Spent my life as an auditor and a CPA. That's not it. I knew you'd say that. Really, it's important to be together to hear the opening, to see what the Lord's calling, what tune we're going to sing that day. You know, it's really important. As the Spirit leads, we are led by the Spirit. The band conductor, the orchestra conductor, is the Holy Spirit. So it's important to be here when we start the song or when he taps the baton, consider the person doing the opening is tapping the baton, which means you know what you're going to sing. It wouldn't start. And you know, we also send out the verses that we're going to open with each time. So you can have band practice at home, you know. You can practice, be prepared mentally and spirit. Another general thing, worship and warfare. Did you know there's a battle, a huge spiritual battle over worship? Who will get the worship? All eternity is about who will get the worship. The enemy wants the worship. remember that we've been reading in Luke 4, the temptation in the wilderness, 40 days, and the enemy challenges the Lord when he came out. And he said, and the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I want. Therefore, if you worship me before me, it shall all be yours. And Jesus replied to him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So we live as part of this world as a cosmos. It's a world system dominated, and we know more than ever what we're seeing going on in the world. It's dominated by the enemy. And we just need to not give in to it and put the Lord first. This cosmos, this world system is after our souls. Just after our souls. Wants to own us. You know what? I know we've said this before, but years ago, Michael Woods, I'm sure I've said this, was really struggling with working for IBM. That's when IBM was the place to work, and they were trying to drive him, and they said, he went to Stephen Kong, and he said, brother, they want me to give 110%. And he looked at him and said, give him 50. So anybody that thinks you're being worked to death or being demanded, give them 50%. Okay, now I'm on letter B. Worship God. And we are all created with that capacity to worship God. And we said before that that's been limited, but now we've been born again and we can worship God with our hearts. And I just thought we worship God and it's possible to worship. Does that make sense? I really want to get to worship because I'm going to feel better after that. That's a good song. I want to sing. That stirs my soul. I want to sing that song. Be careful we don't worship. There's a reason we don't have a worship team and a worship program, because we want to worship God. We don't want to be, we're not attendants. We're not coming to a performance. We're participants, part of the orchestra, part of the symphony as we're here. Ephesians 2:13 says, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. We were without God in the world, but no more. The way is clear for us to worship God. In Hebrews 10:19-22, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us approach God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us approach God. How can we not but worship the Lord when we approach God and see him? God needs to be the object of our worship. If we see him, how can we do anything but fall down and worship him? I just want to call to memory a couple passages where people in the Bible saw the Lord and worshiped and fell down. What's the topic of this message, Herb?
Worship God.
Worship God. Thank you. Just make sure you're paying attention. Isaiah 6, 1 to 4. Very familiar passage. Wonderful passage. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined. I am undone," right? I think I can never find translations that reflect what I have in my brain. But anyway, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah saw the Lord and he was humbled, fell on his feet. Another verse is Exodus 3, 1 to 6. This is a Gesundheit. See, this is the burning bush. Exodus 3, 1 to 6. And starting with verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." That's good, right? Then he said, "Do not come near. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said also, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Humbled himself. You know, that's the Old Testament, and he couldn't look at the face of God. He'd be consumed, but Moses humbled himself. He saw the Lord in his spirit. And then Acts 7, 2 to 4, Stephen's testimony, and he said, "Hear me, brethren and fathers. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived Haran, and said to him, 'Leave your country and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you.' Then he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After his father died, God had moved him to this country in which you are now living." Abraham saw the God of glory and responded. He saw the Lord, and he worshiped God by his life, by going out, not knowing where. And if he hadn't come to this land, we'd be nowhere, if he had not been obedient. And you know the story of Mary and Martha. Martha was distracted with all the preparations, but Mary was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. And then the Lord Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away." Mary worshiped God. I don't want to... Don't give Martha bad rap. She was preparing, you know. She was being responsible. So I'm not sure she's deserving of all the bad things that have been said out about her, but it was Jesus who said, "Worship God." Okay. Third point, called letter C, worship in spirit. We can worship in our souls. We can get stirred up and our natural strength. But if we're looking at God as new creatures in Christ, we need to worship in spirit. We were created spirit, soul, and body, and the spirit is meant to have the preeminent place in our lives. Because of that, we're able to fellowship and communion with God in spirit. Unfortunately, that capacity was lost at the fall, but it has been regained. We have been born again. Our spirits have been born, revived, and the Holy Spirit's come to live within us. And we always think of Nicodemus, the Lord's dialogue with Nicodemus. You must be born again. We need to know that we are born again and respond to the Lord in spirit. So you must be born again. Not be afraid to stand afar off, but to worship God. So, you know, obviously my burden is really that in the days of trial, we not use them to get undone and get consumed, but we use them to come to the end of ourselves and realize there's something we can do about it. And the thing we can do about it is worship God. And Paul came to the end of himself. 2 Corinthians 4, he says, 4:7-11, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always a carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God. Praise the Lord. We go through trials to be set free from our natural strength and know that we have a treasure in earthen vessels and rely on the power of God. Worship in spirit. And Paul said again in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. When I am weak, then I am strong. Make way for the Spirit. And so there's another thing I want to say about Paul. We make way for the Spirit, but there's a way to worship God by keeping our attention on things other than this world. Colossians 3, you know, the Colossians had error. What was the Colossian error? Gnosticism, getting away from the Lord. But he didn't try and address the error and dissect it, but he just presented the Lord and got everybody's attention to turn to the Lord. And this is a great verse. Colossians 3, 1-3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, we have been raised up with Christ. That's a rhetorical question. Since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Set our minds on the things above. Things of earth clamor. Oh my. Morning till night they clamor. Get up and check the news. That's bad, you know. And then check your email. And then check your Twitter account. And whatever else you got. Your Facebook, and your day's half gone, and your attention is everywhere else. Speaking from experience, I don't have Facebook or Twitter or any of that. I do have email. We are responsible for where we spend our time and where we set our minds. If we set our minds on things above, we see Christ seated at the right hand of God and all we can do is worship God, set our minds on the things above. And so one of the key verses that I want to read about worshiping in spirit, Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. We live in evil days. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making a melody with your heart, with your spirit, to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So this was another admonition. This was in the Ephesians letter, toward the end of the Ephesians letter. And so it's just brotherly advice to the saints there. Be filled with the Spirit, singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, always giving thanks. Worshiping Spirit is a wonderful thing. How often in the Psalms do we see the psalmist start in a low place and end up worshiping God? And years ago, Bobby Greco told me at one time, the vast majority of his medical practice was counseling preachers, pastors, because they were so depressed, the demands that were on them, and they were being asked to do a job that no man can do, you know. It was, and so what he told me in that discussion was that when we are singing, we're exercising our spirits in song, and we come above the natural. And it's very difficult to get depressed when we're singing and making melody to the Lord. Our minds are set on things above. I love singing. I was born to sing. But you know, it's a good thing when we sing. I just had a couple comments on singing. There was a popular music artist named Carole King when I was young. Who?
I remember.
I'm going to tell you how old anybody is. Anybody that knows who Carole King is, raise your hand. Oh, you're a music person. Okay. Anyway, one of her songs says, when you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand and nothing is going right, just call out my name. So when we're down and troubled, worship the Lord. Look to the Lord and worship him. You know, that's the name we call out. Just call out my name. Singing a hymn, Matthew 26:30, at the Last Supper, they were leaving the Last Supper. He was going to be betrayed. And it says, and after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Huh. After singing a hymn, difficult place, and they sang a hymn, the most difficult place ever. In Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas were in prison. They were in the inner prison with their feet in stocks. I read that somewhere. Anyway, I think that's in the... Now, about midnight, in the inner prison, with their feet in stocks, not sleeping, instead of getting mad, they were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. When you can't sleep, sing a song. Praise God in the middle of the night. Night watches. Okay, so now, who thinks they have a difficult time singing? don't like to sing when we're together. Jack raised his hand. Come on. Erickson. How many are loath to sing? Because they don't want people to hear them. All I can tell you is a big percentage of the room here are half deaf. See, he's a young guy, and he said, what? Don't worry about it. Do not think about what other people think about your singing, because the Lord doesn't care about your vocal cords. He's interested in the song in your heart, and you'll be set free. Aching melody in your heart unto the King of Kings. Sing at home. Sorry. I'll be right back. How many people know about the app? Christ in Song has an app. A few people know. All the songs in Christ in Song, a lady in California, after they did the book, she played piano. So the piano, the accompaniment to all the hymns is in this app. And Mr. Jack Cox, technophobe, he took that and converted it to an app. So you can get all these tunes, and before we leave, we're going to sing one with the app. But it's a great tool. You know, if you don't know a song, and if you can't carry a tune, you can adjust the key and the pace of the song and everything that suits you. So anyway, so singing and making melody, in the letter of Paul to the Philippians, he was in jail, he was in prison again, and he was writing to this church that he was so close to and he loved so much. And what would you say if you were in jail? What would be your prayer? I wrote my prayer down. Oh, Lord, this is terrible. It is just the enemy trying to take me out. I pray that you will get me out of here soon. I can't stand this any longer. Nope. Paul rejoiced. Philippians 2:18. I too urge you to rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. 3:1. Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, but it's a safeguard for you. Rejoice. You know, say it out. Rejoice. Exercise your voice and your spirit and say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Rejoice in the Lord always in spirit. Rejoice in spirit. Okay, D, the last one. What happened? Anyway, truth. You know, we live in a day that's been called what? Post-Christian?
Post-truth.
Post-truth. Right is wrong and wrong is right, and the world believes it. So we need, thank God we have our Bibles, right? It's wonderful we have the Word of God to keep our heads on straight, and that His Word anchors us, because what? It leads us to the Lord. The Bible is definitely words, but it's also God expressed. John 1:1-4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when we are in the meditating and reading the Word of God, we see the Lord, and then we can worship Him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we worship God in spirit and truth. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Come to God through his word. We come to God through his word. And, you know, we're so helped by this thing of psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And I just had this thought of, as we're singing and in hymns and psalms and the choruses, we need to be thinking. Some of them are familiar, so we can just sing them, you know, but be thinking about what they say. As we're singing, we're exercising our spirits. Remember the Lord in our songs and singing. And that kind of goes two ways. And then if you're singing a song and it doesn't sound quite right, you need to be careful that we're not singing this. Psalms are pretty hard to get too off, you know, because they're the Bible. Hymns and choruses, we need to think about what they're saying and not just take them as good feeling, but see that they really are accurate according to the Bible, and that we can worship God through them, not just feel good about things, but worship God through the choruses. Making melody in our hearts in accordance with truth. Truth of God as revealed in his word. Okay. I have a conclusion, but I think we'll sing the song last. Worship God. Worship God is so great, such a deliverance for us. We are living in tumultuous times, crazy times. And it's often said, this is the new normal. Don't accept it as the new normal. I don't know if we'll ever get back to the old way. It'd be nice if we would, but it's not the new normal. Normal's not, in this world's not to be had. Set our hearts on the Lord. And to help us keep our minds, our whole person's anchored, we are able to worship God. You know, we were lost, unable to approach God and to worship him, but we've been saved. We have quickened in spirit, and we have the spirit within us to worship God. The enemy is after worship. He's after the worship. And so we need to set our minds on the things above and his word, be set free from going under the stronghold of the enemy. When we set our minds on the things above, we see the Lord and our spirits are exercised, and we can speak to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart unto the Lord. And play our part in the symphony. No clanging cymbals, just we're all being members of the great chorus unto God. Okay, so this is the song I want to sing. I changed it. Okay, it's hymn number 72, if you want to turn to it. And you probably can't help me because I changed the key, but if you want to, let's try this without, if we get in a big mess, maybe you can help me. Glory be to him who loved us, washed us from each sinful stain. Oh, it went off. Oh, wrong one. Stop it. That's 7. That's 71. Are you enjoying this one? Now, it only plays it through twice, so I got to restart it to sing the other verses.
No,
I hope not. Okay, that was good. I can't get the buttons right. That was the point. Now I'll say, I quit. But you can sing whatever you want. You can put it on the app on your...
The one you wanted.
Well, no, I'll find it if you guys got patience.
Up, John. You said she could play.
All right, Brenda, you want to play. 72.
72. Who loved us, washeth, he said. Let's made us instruments, that you've given us a spirit and you've given us a heart to worship you. We thank you that we don't have to live our days with our hearts and minds set on this fallen world, but we can set our hearts and minds on the things above where Christ is. And you've would put a song in our hearts. Praise your name, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ to worship God. We thank you, Lord, that I didn't have to go out this morning and find the unblemished goat and bring him here. But Lord, you were the sacrifice.